Nothing weird in it at all.
Talking about a beer drinker, this is awesome. It's really good.
That's why you should brew your own beer, because 5 gallons, which is a little more than 2 cases of beer, for $26 for the ingredients. About, what did you spend, Colonel? About $100 for the equipment I had you buy?
For the startup stuff.
Yeah, for all the startup stuff. And
CO2 stuff. That's another 100
for that. Yeah, but you don't need that. That depends on how you want to drink. But we'll start at the beginning. This kit to make a red ale, which is a red ale, same quality as what you guys are drinking, costs $26. It includes some malt extract, which is essentially the hard part of brewing your own beer, making this. This is dried malt sugar, essentially. Dump that. And the kit also comes with roasted grains. This is where this is what makes these kits better than a lot of the other just brew your own homebrew, is you actually do get a bag of grains and you make tea with this. And this is where the good flavor that these kits comes from, as opposed to just the extract or the hopped extract. Because some of the homebrew kits that you get will just give you a can of stuff. And that can is a can of malt extract pre-hopped, and you just kind of rehydrate it like making orange juice in the pot and then ferment it. And those just aren't as good. This is closer to how a real brewery is doing it, which would be a real brewery would start with 10 pounds of this and make the beer from that, and a lot more water. But that takes 8 to 10 hours to brew, because you have to not boil it, but keep it hot, and it get all the sugar out of the roasted grains. Essentially, what you're doing when you do a kit like this, fill a pot up with a couple gallons of water, make tea with the grains, so in the 170 degree range, doesn't matter too much, not boiling. If you boil it, it burns, and it can't drink the beer.
Have you tried?
I haven't had the misfortune of burning any of the grains yet, but I have some friends who brew using propane outside, and it's much harder to regulate the temperature on the propane, and so, oops. And they burned it, and it wasn't drinkable beer. Once you make the tea, you add the hop, the malt, and then bring it up to a boil, and you drop it in. These kits come with pelletized hops. The pelletized hops are not as good as fresh hops, but they're a little bit more controlled. So it's easier for them to measure out how much hops is really going to end up in there. Fresh hops is a flower. And so it looks a little bit like weed in a flower, so you get an actual bud. And these are then pelletized and crushed. And that's what gives beer its aroma, and was originally used as a preservative when they first made beer. I'm going to get out some hops and pass it around, and you guys will all recognize the beer smell from hops. Yeah. It's a little old, it's been in there, and you smell it. It just kind of smells the way a good beer smells, and the way this smells. Because it has a fairly large amount of fresh hops. Once you have that in there, it's boiling. Cook it for 55 minutes, and then you dump in another round of hops, and that adds the aroma because it's not cooked for a long time. And that's what gives it the beer smell. Once it's all cooked and everything, you're only cooking it for an hour. So it takes about an hour and a half to get a batch done cooking between heating up the water and making the tea part. It takes about an hour and a half. Then you cool it down. I usually just dump it in the sink. Not dump it in the sink, but put the pot in the sink in cold water bath to cool it off quickly. Once it gets down to a reasonable temperature, you dump it into one of these big glass jugs. These are a 6.5 gallon jug. Generally, you put about 2 gallons of what's called a wort, which is what that is after it's been cooked, into your jug and strain it. What the straining does is those pelletized hops kind of disintegrate and turn into a gunk. You really want to filter that gunk out because you don't want it in your beer. You end up with enough gunk already from the dead yeast. Once it's in here, you fill the rest of it up with water. I just use tap water. You can use fancier water, and it's not a... But the beer that I make tastes fine. That's just Kent City tap water. Once it's in here, get it to a reasonable temperature. When you buy one of these, they're like $20. Hold 6.5 gallons of liquid. And so you got to figure out how much 5 gallons is. Mark it. There's a magic marker line on here that you can't see. And the one on here has been washed off. But mark it. You can barely see the remains of the line. And fill it up to that. Make sure you buy a strip thermometer so you can know what temperature it's at. These thermometers are marked with temperature ranges. Ales should be brewed between 66 and 70, 72 degrees. So, house temperature. That's useful. You can just sit it in your closet, and it should be fine in terms of temperature. Once it's adjusted to that temperature, because you're, when you get the hot stuff from cooking it and you pour cold water in there, the temperature will be all over the place. Let it sit for a couple hours, and then the temperature will settle down to within the range, and add yeast. A lot of... I've gotten out of the habit of buying liquid yeast. One of the things you can do to really improve your quality is buy a liquid yeast, which is... This is a packet of yeast. It looks like baking yeast. So it's dry. It looks pretty much identical to the baking yeast you use to make bread. You can buy a liquid yeast that is not in a freeze-dried form, so it's alive. And in theory, that will start the batch faster because it's alive. It doesn't need to be reconstituted. It'll be more successful in preventing wild yeast infestation because when this is first dumped in there, it is a nice temperature sugar water solution. There isn't really much better things for growing yeast in. So you got to be relatively careful about sterilization. That's the advantage of using glass. You can put all kinds of crazy chemicals in here to clean it out and get it actually clean. A lot of the kits will sell you something like that ale pail down there, which is plastic, and it just doesn't clean well. Even in there for a week, and you can see the crusty line that gets around here because it foams up and bubbles and not good in plastic. It just doesn't ever come out right. And then it's stained, and then it smells funny after a while, and then it smells and tastes funny. Too much hair in the microphone. So liquid yeast is better, but it costs $4 or $5 a batch, and so I tend not to use it because I'm cheap. Dry yeast, constitute it in warm water, and dump it into the jug. A week later, you get something that looks like this. Somewhere during the next day, after you put it in there, it should start bubbling here, meaning the yeast is reproducing by producing carbon dioxide and alcohol. You keep it in an airlock so it doesn't get contamination from outside air. You don't get wild yeast infections. But the carbon dioxide can come out that the yeast makes when it produces alcohol. After about a week, you can see you get, there's a pretty large amount of sediment in the bottom, and this is dead yeast. That's why almost always... Get a new mic?
You can leave that one on.
No, okay.
Just for the video.
Oh. I get two mics. Interesting. That's why I almost always move it to a secondary stage. You give it a week in here to do all the most of the converting sugar to alcohol, and then dump all the stuff except the crap on the bottom into another fermenter and let it. Doesn't end up in the bottom of your cup.